5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
You are a halfwit. Seriously.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Yeah, we always feel good when Nick Riebolt's coming in.
Oh, yes.
He got some very important messages to give us, and also we want to talk about the Saints. Mm. One of the great comebacks. 35 points down, or nearly, and then 20-point winners.
33.
How good?
Oh, great win. Oh,
superb. Superb. Something amazing in the sporting world out of the States.
Yes.
That we need to take a look at because apparently it never happens. In fact, apparently it's rare. So we'll get to exactly that later on.
They're very far from rare.
Very far from rare, Jim.
That was the very rare Sandringham Tawny. Hello to you, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you and great to be with you, Rebsy.
What does big Sean Darcy tuck into for dinner tonight after a win?
Oh, I'll be sleeping pretty soon, so.
You haven't received the Brownlow Medal votes.
Just the magic. That's all right,
oh,
mate.
Shit.
How big does?
From down Colac way. Where is he? Camperdown somewhere? And, let go of the big.
Couple of
magics. Come on, Sean.
Big does.
He's a big boy. Just lumbers around. Do you hear when he kicked that goal and what Hutto said?
I did not.
He actually said,
Hutto said. Anthony Hudson.
Well, it sounds very much like it. I don't know if we're allowed to play it at all.
Bill, you just said it on air.
But I hope we bipped it. Because he's wasn't bipped.
Really?
You've got to have a listen to it. We'll get it up in quarter time. Now, some footy news, Jim.
Yes.
What about Ben Cunnington?
You've got to appeal that, surely.
Well, they are tonight. They're going to appeal it straight to see what happens there. But I think he just gets a fine, Jim. He doesn't get a week. There wasn't a lot in it. A nice little bump.
No, I would have thought no.
And it wasn't high contact.
No, I'm with you. They absolutely need to go to the appeal tribunal with that.
What about some weird injuries over the last week or so? We'll talk to Nick Riebolt about this. He's coming in. But Rory Sloane, Jim, he's got to sleep in a dark room for 4 or 5 days.
Yes, a detached retina.
Yeah, which sounds
serious.
That's
the boxer's injury, Fat. Exactly. And once you have that as a boxer, you're done.
Ooh.
They put a line through you.
Do they?
Yep.
Well, he'll miss a month, Jim. Also, Dane Rampy, who never gets injured on the field, gets injured off the field.
What happened to the ramp?
Broke his finger at training. Yeah. Played last week, but has had surgery. So he misses 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
They'll miss him.
They will.
Oh, wow. Also, Taylor Adams, he's out for 10 now, worse than first thought.
Yeah, that's not good.
And Froffies May, he's going to miss between 2 and 4 weeks, Jim, with that eye injury.
Sean Higgins?
Sean Higgins. Well, he's out with a hammy with 3 or 4. But also in that game, he broke his thumb.
Did I see on a monitor in this room, Jeremy Cameron?
It was a rare sighting, Jim.
Walking into GMHBA.
They're not rare. Oh. They're very far from rare.
I saw it this morning with my own eyes.
You did.
I couldn't believe it.
We were sitting here waiting to do some work, and Fat's giving it the... there he is! There, Jeremy Cameron.
Oh, we've spotted him. Hey, the Sheffield Shield final. Yes. Starts Thursday, Jim, 9:30, if you don't mind.
Alan Borderfield.
Yes, Queensland taking on New South Wales. Have a listen to some of the players. The Queensland squad, Kawaja, Joe Burns, Marnus Labuschagne. Matthew Renshaw, Billy Stanlake, Mitchell Swepson, who's a very good leg spinner. That's nice.
That is
then,
nice.
Then, of course, the New South Wales squad, you've got Sean Abbott, you've got Nathan Lyon.
Yes.
You've got Josh Hazelwood, you've got Mitchell Stark, you've got Peter Neville. It's a good person, test players.
Well, and that's why the Shield final, in my opinion, must stay.
Yes.
There were people a while ago saying it shouldn't be, because it was very late in the season, all the rest of it. And I'm like, no, the best players playing it, and that's what makes it a showpiece thing. I think it's brilliant.
It'll be great. How come Mitch Stark didn't get picked up in the IPL, Jim?
He chose not to go. I think he had a family issue.
Oh, right.
Family reason not to go. But no, he was very sought after and decided not to go.
Oh, dollars. Hey, also former Demon Tim Smith kicked 5 goals on the weekend for South Belgrave. That was a great effort. They defeated Mulgrave.
So what?
Mulgrave?
Yeah.
Where's Mulgrave?
Mulgrave.
Mulgrave.
Yeah. Well done. Mulgrave.
Mulgrave. How come they're all...
It's listener heartland. You should know that.
I tried. So good effort, Timmy Smith. And also Mark Bagley. You know, used to play Bagley now.
Essendon.
Yeah. He played his 100th game for Langwarrin on the weekend.
Did he really?
So he played 99 games before he went to the AFL and played his 100th for Langwarrin. Some good stuff, Jim.
Well, all I know is Rui Revolt coming shortly. But just as we finish on the Shield final, you need to be an exceptional player to perform well in them.
Do you?
That's the other thing.
Who has?
Not just playing them, but if you manage to string performance together in them.
If you make 100,
That really elevates you up to being like a proper performer.
Did you get 100 in?
All I'm saying to you is this. What stories are trending unusual, which is coming up after we chat to the great Nick Revolt, it better work.
Well, it hasn't.
No.
No, but this is a good story, Jim. So it's how we do it. Now, have a listen here. Sean Darcy kicking for goal.
112 kilos. Thud!
Now,
Hutto, what's he doing?
Has anything happened? It happened over the weekend, and obviously he didn't mean it, but I don't know. It's no other word sounds like thump or anything like that, Jim. Jeez. It's just the old... If you see K.
Nick Revolt joins us next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour and Triple M Footy's big season recruit joins us in the studio.
Earlier this year, our next guest stepped into the Rush Hour hosting chair in place of JB.
Now, Bill.
He's back in the studio today with a very important message. As on Thursday, it's the 6th annual Maddie's Match and the first Ride for Maddie to support people suffering with bone marrow failure syndromes. Please welcome... Nick Revolt.
Ah, the superstar that is. And, of course, Ride for Maddie is what we're discussing here, Rui. Lots to discuss with you as we say hello.
Yes, hello, James. Hello, Bill. Good to see you again, Bill.
Great to see you, Nick. Yeah. We spent two fine weeks together, Jim.
We're going
to
get to that.
I had to reintroduce myself on the way in to a few people because they just knew me as James' backup.
Well, that's right. And you came in February, right? We haven't seen you since. You signed this huge deal to come across to the M's.
Yeah.
And no one's seen you.
Massive deal. It's been hard to get a Guernsey, to be honest, Bill, early in the season. Thursday night games and Friday night games. So once it settles down a little bit, and once we get through this week, we had a bit on this trying to organise Maddie's Match and Maddie's the ride for Maddie. So once we get through that, I'll be back in.
Tell us about the ride, first of all, starts.
Yeah, so the ride, so we've done the game of football, which you guys have been great supporters of over the last 6 years. So that'll continue on Thursday night, but just try to embrace a different community this year. And a little bit self-indulgent, Bill. I've gotten into the bike riding myself.
Bike riding.
Probably one of those proper beach road wankers.
There's a white ute. If you see that anywhere near you and a door comes flying out, you know it's the Sandy Flyer who's just cleaned you up.
You put on those shoes and walk around, tiptoe around.
The cleats. Yeah, put the shoes on and go into the cafe. So we've got,
I never thought you would do that.
Just like footy clubs, there are great people and there are average people. In the cycling community, I've been fortunate to be adopted by a great group of guys, and we're going to have a lot of people joining us for a ride on Thursday. So we're going to leave RSEA Park down there at Moorabbin about lunchtime, go do a lap of the city, go around the MCG, around Marvel Stadium, head south, and then back at Moorabbin before we all head into the football for Maddie's Match. So there's still a few places left for the ride. If you want to log on to mrv.org.au and sign up, we'll have a great day.
How many
riders? Well, we're trying to target about 100.
All right, so a couple spring to mind. Wayne Schwoss.
Spoken to Schwatter. He's away at the moment.
He's a nuff rider.
Goes real hard.
And Mickey Roberts is your real life for a wanker.
Yes, Robbo.
So he'll be there.
Yeah.
He knows stopping Robbo.
So you don't turn up in a dragster. You've got to have actually a good
You need a proper road bike, Bill. Right. We'll be going at a decent clip.
I was going to bring me little dragster.
No, don't deal. You can come and drive the pace car or something, Bill, for us.
Actually, I could drive that.
Jeez, I'll tell you what, there'd be a fair old peloton following you.
Just sit him up the front in that blockhead win and we'll jump in behind him.
Oh, there'll be some complaints, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
So we do that. We do the ride, of course. And then the big game. Good game, too. The Saints, your Saints, who are flying.
Wow. they needed to bounce back. I wouldn't say they're flying, yeah, but it was a response full of character, I think. I love the captain, Jack Steele, came out before the game and he just pushed all the chips into middle and said, "I can guarantee a response," which is brave.
It was an in-game response too.
Yeah, that's right. That's really right.
When you're 33 points down, you're just thinking, "Oh wow!"
So they found the formula that they were able to bring pretty often last year, which was high forward pressure and energy and effort, and it was a great win. But this week's, you know, it's a massive game. Both teams 2-2.
Richmond, of course. Yeah. Hey, so how far have you got? And the money donated, and how is the research and things like that?
Yeah, going really well. Thanks, Bill. So 6 years now. So we've raised just around the $10 million mark, which is massive. And, you know, it's hard out there. Non-for-profit's hard. There are a lot of good ones and they've all got great causes, but we've been so well supported. Well, thank you to everyone and the Triple M family. I know are great supporters of us. So thank you. So 24 research projects, a centre of research excellence, a bone marrow biology centre, an aplastic anemia registry. So lots of scientific things. I can give you all the words, Bill, and let you have a go at pronouncing them.
I reckon that's a good idea.
But it's been amazing. Yeah. We've been so well supported and grateful, and there's more to do. Yes. So that's why we're going to...
All right. So you got the ride, which is going to be brilliant, and then the at-game activity, what happens there?
Yes, well, just encourage people to get along, to donate. We'll have a few sort of on-ground activations at the day. It's a little bit more difficult than it has been in previous years with the restrictions, but just encourage people to give as much as they can.
Brilliant. That is absolutely superb. What you're doing is brilliant. Well done. Yeah. 10 mil just going to go through the roof. And nice merchandise I see this year too. Yeah.
Good bit of merch.
What are we got? That's really good. It's the key rings, a scarf.
I'll tell you what, if you are a cyclist and you want to do the ride, the cycling tops that we've got from Pedlar, which is a local manufacturer of cycling attire, they are first-class quality, and we've been so well supported by some of our sponsors.
Who else you got? Sponsors.
Well, Mercedes-Benz Brighton have jumped on again. Coles have jumped on in a big way. RSEA have jumped on. Adventure Abroad as well, and Pedlar, as I mentioned. Right. So great supporters of Matty's Vision.
Well done.
Do you want to latch onto that merchandise, saints.com.au? Or do you get down to Moravian?
Either or, James. Ooh. Either or.
Get down to
the RSEA Park.
Down to the Promised Land.
Absolutely. Ooh. Isn't that good? You guys been down there?
I was down there. Well, for the beautiful celebration of the great Danny Frawley, I was down there. And no man was more passionate about Moravian than Spud.
Getting back there. Getting back there. I don't know. I might have pushed him.
I might have pushed him, boys.
Yeah, didn't you like it down miles away?
Terrible, Bill. And I was gagged. For 6 years, I was gagged. And now I'm in the middle. I can say what I want. Shithouse it was.
I went for a coffee.
I used to live at Flinders for 4 years. I used to drive past it every day and I'd see these poor bastards. Rui's toupe was taken off. His hair was actually going out sideways.
Oh, I had the Nescafe. They had to make their own coffee.
Yeah, just the instant style, Bill.
Now they're back down.
Is the disco
Church
still
Street?
Around?
The disco?
Yeah.
No, disco. No, that's all gone, unfortunately. But when I first started at
and Barks, did we do
so? It had the. Oh, you and Barks, peas in a pod, you two, imagine.
That's it. Oh, my God.
Me and Barks.
Yeah, they had it. Well, it was still there when I got back, when I first started at the club. There was the sunken sort of little dance floor, and that became our gym.
Did it?
That's where we did weights, and in the middle of our weights room, you had this little sunken dance floor with a disco ball sitting above it still.
A lot of lifting went on there.
My older brother, Bill, played at the same time as you. His first or second game was at Moorabbin, and he said, "I'll never forget Matty Larkin at the end of the game, still in his jumper and shorts and boots, getting in his car." And Mark's like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "No point trying to have a shower here. No,
get out of here.
There's either no water running, or if there is, it's freezing cold."
Freezing cold.
So
welcome to Moorabbin.
It would have been bad if it was worse than Arden Street.
You walk around the ground and have a look at it because you've never been there. Yep. And the feral Saint supporters.
The animal Austin enclosure.
McCrab. Oh, yeah. Austin McCrab was walking. I was walking. "What's your real name, you tax dodger?" They said Austin McCrab. But they yell out some great stuff.
Well, we need to talk footy with a man who's won 6 Trevor Barker medals, if you don't mind,
Fat. How many goals he
6. How many?
718.
That's a long way ahead of you.
A lot of points there, too.
Oh, Bill.
It's a rush hour, Triple M. JB and Bill, this is Triple M Rush Hour. Nick Revolt is in the studio talking about Ride for Matty. If you want to get involved, mrv.org.au.
All right, so Bill makes an earlier start to the Rush Hour year than myself.
Oh, early.
So I leave it with him. And then, so I heard that Joey Montagna, very good. I heard that Daisy Thomas, quite as good. We're going to be involved. And then someone said, Nick Riewoldt's coming to Triple M. Brilliant.
Big signing.
Going to be doing some Rush Hour. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I thought the good bit about that, Rui, is you'll be able to take over as the host. Because there's one thing Bill can't do is host anything. Then I had some audio sent.
Anything. I will be.
Be smoking. Well,
Bill. You're doing Creme Le Monde.
What? Creme de la creme, maybe, or Creme Lamont.
Creme Lamont.
We had some fun.
So then I heard that and I thought, well, that's sad because Rui's not hosting, Bill is, and then I heard this.
Hey, mate, I'll tell you what, you've got great supporters. You always have. They stuck thick and thin or fat and whatever it is, but they have stuck with you.
Rui, were you looking across at him thinking, this is a 20-year veteran?
I'll tell you what, I had a good chuckle that week. It was good. It was good fun. Well, I did think it would work a little bit differently, but we had a good...
You reckon you're going to host?
That's as nice as you can say he thought you'd be going to host.
Well, I just thought, because James is usually the host, come up with the little gold nuggets, which you do, I thought I'd sort of just slide into James's chair. I was taken aback, but that's okay.
I had to open him up, okay? Because we all know he's very straight. Oh, he does a footy and that's it. And that's how he played the game. He used to get out on the ground and walk and do his laps and all football. And now he's pigeonholed footy, Jim. Had to open him up, a bit of laughter, a bit of ha-ha, LOL out of him. And so hence, we did. We had a bit of fun.
That's why I'm here, Bill. I'm here to show a different side and a little bit of personality. Because I acknowledge I don't like the person I was for 17 years as a footballer, just, wound up.
But that's, I reckon that was okay.
On a bit too tight. But
you have changed, haven't you? But were you always a bit of fun? Did you have that in you, or did you have to, because you're captain?
I think I was, but anything to do with the footy and, I was pretty serious.
You were, weren't you?
Yeah, too serious. Yeah, light.
See, 718 goals.
No, I'm not saying anything about his footy. We loved his footy.
No, I've had enough of listening to you. I'm talking now to Rui.
Yes,
718 goals, of course, five-time All-Australian. You, I reckon, would love to play footy right now with the stand on the mark rule. Oh, the leading lanes are back. You can hit up and...
Well... I did listen to Cade Simpson earlier this week talking about if anyone needs anyone, I'm ready, and I've been doing a bit of work for you. I actually have thought it every game this week. I'm sitting there and you're looking at it now and the key forwards are back, coming leading hard at the footy like I used to do and down at Geelong, Gary Ablett used to do.
Has it changed that much? Because it looked like it early, but then it's slowly come back a bit, mate.
Have the coaches got a hold of it, do we think?
Please,
righto. Have they got a hold of it? So all of those little metrics that we like, so the ball movement from one end to the other and the ability to score when you go inside 50, they were all up.
Yep.
But week by week, it's like the share market's just taken a bit of a dive the last 4 weeks. And then stoppages have gone up, which is the one you don't want to go up. So maybe inclement weather over the weekend.
I was about to say, the games where it worried me was up on the Gold Coast, where it was very slippery and the ball spent the whole time on the ground. Ballarat, which they slippery, just cannot draw a good day up there. Yep. Even tried to bring it forward and it was no good. And I felt for them a bit. And then, of course, the G on Sunday, it was horrendous. So hopefully it is weathered.
Yeah, I think it probably was, that exaggerated it a little bit on the weekend, but no doubt the coaches would have just looked at what the game was offering, and defensively they were getting sieved, so might have just pulled a few levers to slow it up a little bit.
Where are Collingwood at? Are they rebuilding? Are they challenging?
I don't think they're either, Bill. I think they're in no man's land.
No man's land?
Yeah. I don't think they're challenging. And the reason I don't think they're rebuilding is because they had the oldest team, they fielded the oldest team of the round on the weekend. Mm. And if you're rebuilding, you don't get rid of your highest draft pick over the last 4 years, which is Jaden Stevenson. So you couldn't say they're rebuilding off the back of those two things. In fact, they're the antithesis of a rebuild. So they've got some big decisions to make over the next 12 months. I've still got great faith in Nathan Buckley as a coach because we know defensively they're so good. I think their issues are... lie where they've been the last few years. Their ball movement's been a little bit stagnant and stale, and lack a bit of synergy up there. So, they've got a really interesting, I think, 10-week period in front of them. Mm. Would you play the kids if you were Collingwood? What would you do?
I'd put someone else in the middle. They're very one-paced. Yep. Aren't they?
They are.
And Scott Pendlebury is a bloody star, but they're all much the same.
Well, they're bringing Finn McRae in.
Yeah, which is good. So they've got to bring someone in. And they've got to make a change because they're a bit like Geelong with this kick mark game that they play.
Yep.
They've got to do something. Yeah. You're right. So I'd bring someone in the middle. And do they move a Darcy Moore forward?
Yeah.
Or someone? Someone to kick goals?
Not this week.
No.
Not this week, because this week you're going up against Kennedy Darling and Oscar Allen, and Darcy Moore's he's the best at what he does. So as a forward, I'm not sure. A good defender. It's very hard to play in the forward line.
Very hard.
Very difficult. So he might need.
Bill found it extraordinarily
difficult. He might not be up to it, Darcy, but I'd leave him there and find another way.
What other question? You had about four. You said I want to.
Well, just some weird injuries doing the rounds.
Mm.
Rory Sloan, the detached retina.
Mm.
That's weird.
That's weird, yeah.
Well, Froffy's mate. Froffy's mate. Dane Rampy, who never gets injured on the ground but always gets injured off the ground.
Yeah.
They're just
so
weird.
What are these questions?
Just a statement, this one. Yeah.
So I'll just agree with these. Yeah, right. That one's weird, yep.
The other one was, are you worried about the crowds not coming to the games?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why aren't they coming?
Well, because it's labour-intensive to go to. It's hard work at the moment, I think, to go to a game of footy.
It is. You
can't go anywhere. I was at the Spuds game the other week and tried to get from one side of the ground around to the president's function.
Yep.
And it took me 45 minutes.
Yep.
So it's just, I think we can be made a little bit easier at the moment to get along to the footy like it is in every other state where you can rock up and you can buy a ticket at the ground.
Sit next to your mate that you have for the last 10 years.
That's right. Do all of those sort of things. So come on, Vic government, let's open it up.
Hey, Rui, I only knew this because we did it as part of the Seven build up to the last Richmond game in Adelaide. 2012 was Dustin Martin's first year as a player and Damien Hardwick's first year as a coach. It took them to round 10 that year to win a game.
Mm.
They'd lost nine straight.
Wow.
And I had completely forgotten that. And in the obviously ensuing 9 years, they won three premierships, played in four straight prelims. So if you get it right, it can turn quicker than you think.
It can. It can change quick. Absolutely. And, I mean, let's not also forget, Dimmer was almost gone.
Yes, he was
very, very close to being out of that football club. And you just wonder if that decision had have been made, the personnel playing-wise would have still been pretty similar, you'd imagine, whether they would have been able to achieve what they have. So you're right. You've got to get a lot right, and you need a little bit of luck along the way. But football is designed now for clubs to be with free agency and with the draft and with trading picks and all of that sort of stuff. You can get back there quicker than I think you used to be able to.
All right, what about coaches? So I'm not suggesting that any of the 18 are in the gun or are going to leave, but just history tells us there's attrition among the 18 coaches.
Yep.
If your coach is leaving your club, I have a strong view that Ross Lyon and Brad Scott are the first two phone calls I'm making.
You're making the call.
Of course you are.
Absolutely.
But I don't get why we scrap heap these blokes who have proven with their numbers to be unbelievably successful at their job.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if it's just us in the media that and you know supporters and that have got maybe sour tastes in their mouths from previous experience that might scrap heap those sort of guys. But if you're doing your role properly as a football club, you are negligent in your duty if you don't contact those blokes.
Two examples of this for me, Rui. One is what's happening with Sydney now that Don Pike's got there and what's happening with Melbourne now that Mark Williams has gone there. It's just extraordinary that these blokes were sitting, well, one was sitting in the VFL and one was sitting not working anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, the acumen and the history of those two blokes in senior coaching roles in our competition would scream out that they would be a great addition.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, particularly now with the strain on football departments as well. So there are less. There's a narrower pool, really, isn't there? Because we've got less jobs in footy. So are you better off taking the risk on an unknown or going somewhere where you know these guys have got proven results? I mean, I heard Ed Langdon from Melbourne talk about Chocker.
Yeah.
My gosh, that was the most glowing endorsement of a coach I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And the impact that he's had in a pretty small space of time, it must be said, since he's arrived at Melbourne. So, yeah, absolutely. There are still plenty of good football people out there for clubs that might be on the look.
Who's the first-time coach then? Yeah, the assistants that haven't coached before, because Ross Lyon and Brad Scott have. Yep. So, because there used to be Lee Tudor.
Don't know about the
well,
field,
Sam obviously. Sam Mitchell's, I think, really, you know, you wonder what might happen at Hawthorn with a handover at some stage, maybe with Clarko. Adam Kingsley is at Richmond. He's very highly regarded. I was coached by Kingsley. He's the best assistant coach I've ever had. He was unbelievable. And all the IP he'd have
the
at Richmond
best
as well.
You've ever had.
Assistant.
Yeah, assistant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Tassie going to get a team? And when?
We are very, very bullish about it, Bill.
Geez,
at the moment.
Premier's got plenty to say.
He's been banging the desk, has Bill. I love it. Standing up for the people of Tasmania. And also the appointment of Colin Carter, one of your boys. He's really now charged with overseeing that
Guess
that
who was in his ear last weekend at the Geelong President's Lunch?
Oh.
Brother Jeff. Blair.
Oh, Brother Blair.
And we'd had a couple. Guess who he went straight over to poor Colin Carter and had a good chat to him about it.
Jeffrey.
Oh, no.
No, Blair, my brother, because he lives in Hobart.
Jeff Kennett's a bit, he's no good on the idea, is he?
Well, we didn't discuss it with him. It was just me, Colin Blair.
Imagine Colin Carter. I think he's on the global board of Credit Suisse or one of those sort of
Merrill Lynch,
Lendlease. And up comes Blair Brattles. Yeah.
I said, don't say your surname, just say you're Blair from Hobart.
Blair B.
Hey, get stuck in at mrv.org.au or saints.com.au if you want to join in the ride, or of course get to the footy, buy the merchandise and get around this amazing game.
Yeah, spot on.
Great to see you always.
Yes, absolutely. When do I get to do my week with you?
Well, Bill. Yeah,
soon, next week.
When are you going on holiday?
Well, I've been here since February 1.
You better show.
With the alpaca.
I'll host, James. I'll host.
Good. Well, Bill's bringing a 10-pin bowling story to the show next. That'll be good. So rush hour.
Hey, wait for it.
Triple M. On the brand new listener app and on your radio, this is the Rush Hour with JB and Bill, and we're doing this.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Jim, this has gone viral. Come across my desk this morning. Viral, Jim.
Yes.
US Open semi-final in 10-pin bowling.
Oh.
The Ginger Assassin. Ooh. Okay, his name is Anthony Newer. Mm. We're going to call him Ginger. Became a cult hero overnight in one of the most difficult feat in bowling, Jim.
Which is what?
A 7-10 split.
Oh.
So one pin is on one side of the
alley,
and another pin's on the other side of the alley.
They had to clean up a couple of spares.
Actually, only bowling, you can hit one. That's it, right?
Yep.
But guess what?
What?
He has done the impossible and knocked them both over. Have a listen.
The 7-10 only been made on television 3 times in the history of professional bowling on TV.
Come on, kid, do it.
Randy.
My goodness, the Ginger Assassin just dropped the 7-10. You bet, kid. You bet.
The 7-10, Jim.
Fat, I read that he hit it with such force, one of the spares, that it flew into the back wall
and then
came back and knocked the other one over. Because when you told me about it, I'm thinking he must have nicked it so finely that it went sideways. And I think, well, you can't do that.
Or he did the Freddie Flintstone, the ball went in half. Halfway.
I'm thinking neither of those are possible. How's he cleaned them both up, Bill?
Well, you have to bowl it. That's right. So hard, so quick that it bounces off and then comes back, and that's how you hit the 7-10 from downtown.
I'll tell you what, cleaning up the 7-10 is
what?
Rare.
Very.
They're not rare. They're very far from rare.
They are. They're rare. That's only the fourth time on TV history, Jim, that's the 7-10.
The Ginger.
Well done to the Ginger Assassin there. I don't know if he went. I probably should read the story if he won, but.
No, he didn't.
Oh. All right then, but it was a good effort. Well done, Ginger.
Walked away with a slice of history.
Yes, exactly.
The Ginger Assassin.
He twinkled toes up and the ball had split halfway. And hit him.
How did they ever hit anything with those balls? They used to bobble around, going down the lane, made of rocks. All right, let's get... I'll tell you what, we've got a joke, it has to be better. But we're also going to have a look at the coaches' votes next.
On tomorrow's show, the Macedonian Marvel, Peter Dacos.
Yes, please.
Yes.
How good.
Jeez, I loved him.
And then the Hump Day Quiz. Same.
He was superb.
So one really good thing and one poor.
Superstar, as good a player, Bill, for about 10 years as you saw fall to the centre circles.
Could he magnificent. Kick a goal, Jim?
What about those off a step barrels he used to rip out?
Exactly.
Beautiful.
One step, exactly.
I loved it. All right, so coaches' votes quickly.
Yeah, so let's have a look. Jimmy Boy, Luke Parker got a 10. Travis Spoke in some form.
Oh, yeah.
He got a 7. Sam Doherty got the most there of the Carlton Suns game. Toby Green and Callum Ward was outstanding. Both got 9 votes. Jack McRae flies under the radar.
Amazing.
He got a 9 with Tim English, who's flying at the minute. Jack Steele got a 10. Well done to him. Rory Laird and Lachlan Scholl both got 9s. Yes. Lachlan Scholl, the NAB rising star.
Aaron Hall. So there was a North player with a vote. That must be the first for the year, I reckon.
Oh, don't tell me they got one, did they?
Four votes for Jack Zabel. Hey, Christian Petrarca, love him.
Oh, well, he got a big 10, Jimmy.
Love him,
boy.
And I love David Mundy.
We'll see, they're all Melbourne players there. And we say it every year, underrated, David Mundy.
No, I don't
He's
know
kicking,
how.
Jim.
He's superb.
So the leaderboard, Tex Walker, 28. Maxi Gawn, 22. Jack McRae, 22. Clayton Oliver, 20 there. Three Melbourne players in the top 10, so that's why they're going well.
Exactly right. Okay, so here we go with, because there have been, I reckon, 10 straight real ordinaries.
Poxy?
Yeah, real ordinary. So this one, I'm pleased to report, is going to turn the whole thing around.
Let's make it.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's Joke.
Preston High.
That's where Dakes is from.
Preston East High. You've been to Preston, Jim?
Not really. Bit of north of the city.
Country and Western.
Oh, no. What, are you going rhyming slang on a suburb's name?
No, well, I walked out of the pub and I said, who's playing in there? They said, some bloke from Preston. Oh. I thought he said some bloke from Preston. It was country and Western.
Oh, no. Well, what is
What's
that?
Happening?
That better not be a joke.
No, that's it. No, Jim, you see, here's one. The CEO of IKEA has just been elected Prime Minister of Sweden.
Really?
This is true. This is true.
Sweden.
Yeah, Prime Minister he is. So he should have his cabinet together by the end of the weekend.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That joke's so bad, we're not going with plastic. Because it's referencing Sweden.
Sweden, what are we going with? Well, moot, moot, moot. Fingers he ho, daddy ho, gada sadoo.
Ye beer spear horn, beer spear. Moot, moot, moot.
Sweden.
He should have his cabinet ready.
Yeah, he should have his cabinet ready.
Right.
I bet you there's a bolt missing.
By the weekend.
There'll be a bolt missing or something, Jim.
All right, that's not bad. That's not bad one.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I think it is true that he's.
I don't think it is, mate.
Oh, it's just a joke.
You sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I went off half cocked.